When you go and surround yourself with people like the people you meet at conferences and your peer groups, it gives you that thought that you're a tiny, tiny little tadpole in a huge goldfish bowl. So you're just, your aspirations just rocket. You can achieve. And, you know, when you're sitting in your little office, you know, with you and the blue blinds, you know, or whoever, you're just like, well, this is it. Your fishbowl's gone to like that big.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Goals Do Come True with me, Doug Bennett. And today I'm very excited to say I have got one of my best friends on, Michelle Hoskin, Little Miss Well, the Pocket Rocket. She owns Standards International and she's all about shaking up the financial services industry. So, Michelle, over to you. Thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure. I have to say, I'm a little bit upset that I must be like number 11 on the list. I was expecting to be number one in the podcast order.
Just to really, really spoil it for you, you're actually number 26.
Jesus, am I really that low down?
Well, look, I tried to book you in. And your Calendly wouldn't let me in for 3 months.
I'm very busy, Doug. With all these goals that I set, they generate quite a lot of work.
Do they?
So I have to filter, just saying.
You have to filter. So, you're giving me a hard time and I've been filtered.
I'm only teasing. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. I've obviously been in and along your journey over the last 5 to 6 years, I reckon, is it?
It's considerably longer than that.
Is it?
Since 2011, it's at least 10 years. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Michelle, you got Standards International. Well, you know, you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've been up to, what you do, how you help people.
Relating it to what we are actually going to be talking about, I run a business called Standards International, and effectively that business sets standards in financial services. So we are the creators of, the trainers of, and the assessors to NatSector, British international standards within financial services. We do training and we have all sorts of amazing stuff going on that side of the business. My other job is as Little Miss Well. So I am considered, my mum and dad still think I work in a shop, so they're still not really sure what I do for a job. But, you know, I'm considered a thought leader in the sector because I come up with concepts and solutions that, you know, are not necessarily always groundbreaking, but they are the solutions to many of the challenges that financial services firms, planners, advisors face in the sector. And I've been doing it for nearly 25 years. And I came into financial services at the tender age of 19, you know, totally naive to the sector, but knew that I could really make a big change in it. And, you know, I had no quantifiable evidence to prove that I could, or any experience or any knowledge at that time. I just had a bundle of energy and a huge vision. Not only that, but I came into a male-dominated sector. You know, as far as discrimination, you know, women, the minority, you know, I remember sitting in meetings and people used to say to me, are you a secretary? And I used to tell them to get stuffed. It's like, no, I'm not a secretary. They're like, well, are you an advisor? I'm like, no, I'm not an advisor. And they had no idea what to do with me. Like, in fact, it wasn't one of those two things. What on earth was I doing in this industry, in this profession? So, and it's not got any better since, to be fair. I've been working hard to, you know, to crack the thinking and to change the mindset of planners and financial advisors across the world. So it keeps me busy.
I think you need to make your goal a little bit bigger, because what is it? Changing the profession one financial advisor at a time.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to take you a long time. So there's a lot of us.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, and it's actually an interesting point. One of the things, I mean, you know, we're talking about goals, obviously, because of your wonderful book and, you know, what you're trying to do and what you've achieved as an individual in only the time I've known you. But one of the things that I broke to the team just before lockdown, actually, so it would have been like January 2020. We are on this huge mission as a business. I'm on a huge mission. My vision has been clear from the age of 19, what I wanted to do professionally in terms of my goal. Which I'll share in a second. But I did say to the team, you know, and it was a real sort of serious chat. And I said, you do realize that what we are working on today won't ever come to fruition really until out past our lifetimes. So we'll never actually see the real fruits of our labour and the changes that we'll make in financial services. And the team crying, like some of the team were crying because it had hit them. And only a few days before that had it actually hit me. So in terms of a goal, you know, imagine that, Doug. Imagine setting a goal so big that for it to be achieved, it won't happen in your lifetime. I mean, you've got to have some real passion for what you're doing and drive to set that as a goal and it bounce you out of bed every morning. Like, seriously. And no, I've had people left, right and centre try and knock me off and criticise me, but they will never, ever stop me. But that's why Ruby is my little 10-year-old is talking about taking over mommy's business, because she knows how hard I work to meet these goals and these dreams. But she knows I'll never see them come to fruition, so she's going to. Can you imagine that?
I have to say, I went all goosebumply. That is quite amazing, actually. And if you think about it like that,
yeah,
and the fact that you've been in the industry for 25 years and it's like a super, super, super tanker. It's going to take an age to just turn it around.
100%. Mm. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there are others that have set goals that big, but I don't know anybody else has set goals that big to know that they won't ever see them come to fruition in their lifetime. I mean, that's like, I'm a bit like a Martin Luther King sometimes. Like, we will get the vote, you know, for Emily Pankhurst. You know, genuinely, that's the goal. is to change financial services forever, positively. But it won't fully happen in my lifetime.
So I was going to say, we talk about big, hairy, audacious goals, but that's it, isn't it, really? Nutted it.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately. So let's break it down, right? So the reason that I was asked, and I with pleasure wrote the foreword for the book, and, you know, why we had the conversations that we've had over the years about that book.
That book, Goals Do Come True. I have to mention it from time to time.
Of course you do.
Publishers.
It's okay, though. It's okay, because I've got my copy too.
You've got one too. Yay.
And, you know, when we've had our conversations over the years, you know, I remember being 19 in a job I hated in retail. I'd moved to London from Nottingham. I was in a relationship with Martin, who we are still friends, although not together. He's Ruby's dad and he works in the business with me. And I remember thinking, I flipping hate my job. And I remember walking from, we lived with Martin's granddad at the time. We saved up money to buy our first house. We lived with him for a year. And I remember walking to Walthamstow train station from granddad's house one morning, going into a shitty job I flipping hated. And I remember thinking to myself, I've not left everybody I know and have left my family and my friends to come and work some crappy job that I didn't like. This is not it. This is not my life. This is not how it's going to be. And when a few weeks after that kind of epiphany that I had in my mind, I went on holiday for a weekend with my dad, with my mum and dad, for my dad's 40th birthday. Now, bearing in mind, I'm now 3 years older than he was at the time. It breaks me. But we went up the Yorkshire Moors to Haworth. We had a weekend in a little like bed and breakfast. There's a family of four, my brother as well. And my mum said to me, she said, what the hell's the matter with you? She said, you're bloody miserable. She said, what's up? You know, not the sparkly little firecracker I know. I said, Mum, I hate my job. I hate my job. I hate what I'm doing. I've left everybody I love to come and work for some guy who just only cares about the people in, because I was in retail at the time. And she's like, right. She said, she pulled out of a little coat pocket, like a little piece of paper, like your little notepad, but a little Argos slip. You know the little Argos slip you write the fingers on, and a little Argos pen. And she said, right, what do you want to do? What are you good at? And she got me ship shape. And we were sitting at the top of the Yorkshire Moors. And I was like, well, I'm organized. And I want to do something that means something. And they were like my little mini goals, effectively, on that day. I didn't realize it at the time, of course. So that night, I was all fired up. My mum had like unleashed this sort of superpower in me, this energy. And I phoned Martin that night and I said, I'm leaving my job. Will you support me if I set up a business on my own? And he said, of course, well, that's what you do. And that's how we work together. And, you know, I set up a business, which was effectively support services for financial advisors. And not long after that, I was driving to the airport to go on holiday. It was mine and Martin's first holiday. And I turned to him and I said, and this is on Ruby's Life True, right? I turned to him and I said, Martin, you know what I want to do? And he went, what? And I said, I want to be instrumental in positively changing the face of financial services forever. And that was it. And every single thing I've done thereafter, every product I've created, service I've designed, every conference I've been to, every presentation I've given, where I've had to leave my poor little Ruby as a baby at home, is because of that statement. So in terms of a goal, that was it. And the rest is secondary. And as we've just talked about, the likelihood is that for me to do that fully, it will be outside of my lifetime. So you've got to almost, you know, these big, hairy, audacious goals, but they've got to scare the flipping heebie-jeebies out of you. Like, you've got the right goals are those that you've got no possible idea at that moment how the hell you're ever going to pull it off. And they're the goals that you need to set every day, forever. And anything less, they're just to-dos. They're just, I'll do this, aren't they? They're not goals, they're to-dos. They're on a to-do list somewhere. So, yeah, so that's my, you know, and I remember a conversation, I will let you get a word in a minute, but I'll just finish it.
This never happens, folks. This never happens. It's like, right, 3 o'clock in the morning, you get your chance. Going. She's still going, you get your chance, and it's like, oh, I'm going to bed now.
Oh, God. No, and then I'm like, no, you can't. We haven't finished yet. And you're like, no, I have finished. You haven't. I was done at midnight. You just carried on. But I remember various different conversations along the way with you, and I'm like, come on, dog. Like man up. Suck it up. Like, come on. Like, push harder. What else? That's not it. What else are you going to do? You know, and your story has always been around goals and writing them in your little notepad. But we all need to remind ourselves or be reminded that we're here to go large or go home. Anything else is just flipping waste of time, I think. So I'm changing the world, and I'm dragging a load of people along with me for the journey.
Kicking and screaming.
Absolutely.
But predominantly silent.
Yes, because they can't speak. There's no space.
There's no space to speak.
No.
We do have to put some context into the 3 o'clock conversations, because we go to the $1 million roundtable, and the conferences tend to be in the States or Canada, and you know, you're sat in a bar, sat in the hotel bar, chatting, and it just goes on, and we find that most of the best ideas, the best stuff, happens outside of the conference, whilst we're having those conversations.
Yeah, too right. Well, and also if you think about it, you know, how, you know, I've just said to you again as we were chatting before we went live, but, you know, obviously because of the pandemic and what's gone on, like, these conferences have just not happened. So what's been really sad, and I think it's something that I don't think we'll truly get to see the outcomes of just yet, is that when you go and surround yourself with people like the people you meet at conferences and your peer groups, it gives you that thought that you're a tiny, tiny little tadpole in a huge goldfish bowl. So your aspirations just rocket. You can achieve. And, you know, when you're sitting in your little office, you know, with you and the blue blinds, you know, or whoever, you're just like, well, this is it. Your fishbowl's gone to like that big.
Yes.
So we miss all that, because they are where all the best inspirations and ideas and, you know, we've missed them big time, haven't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. How did we meet?
You really want to go there?
Yeah. No, I know you want to go there. I don't necessarily want to go there, but, you know, I know that you're itching.
I am. Well, I think it needs a bit of context, because you know, I did write the foreword of this wonderful book, just in case not the ones that not got a copy.
Goals Do Come True. From the Edge of Financial Oblivion to a Life of Freedom and Fun.
With Michelle Hoskin.
And Bonnie Bennett.
Yeah, I'm Bonnie. But I am like, if you was to have two wives, I would be your other one, wouldn't I? You have said that. Or is that technically? Am I paraphrasing that incorrectly?
Possibly. I might have gone with sister.
No.
Might have gone with little sister rather than...
I would be one of those really annoying little sisters that you'd want to, like, pretend you don't have. Anyway, back to the question.
Smother at night.
Where were we? Which country were we in? The Anaheim.
We were, well, that's actually a city or a town, but we were in America.
Sorry.
I think it was Anaheim in 2011.
If it wasn't, let's just pretend it was.
We'll pretend it was Anaheim for the purposes of.
So we were at MDRT.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you my recollection of this story. Obviously, it might be totally different to how you remember it.
Whoa, okay.
All right. All the kind of Charlie Big Potatoes advisors had gone off to the top of the table meeting, the call to the table meeting, which basically is the highest producers, the highest income generators, the highest, most successful financial planners, advisors in MDRT. They have a special meeting. Well, I was there as a speaker, so I obviously couldn't attend these meetings, this particular meeting, and neither could Doug, because Doug had just qualified, hadn't you, I think?
Yeah,
you,
I just scraped
you were
in.
Entry level.
I just scraped in there.
I wasn't going to say scraped in. You've said scraped in.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm okay with that. I'm okay
Doug
with
just
that.
Scraped in. We just decided, I can't even remember how we kind of ended up there. Oh, no, I do remember. It was basically like, well, they're all going off. Shall we hang out by the pool? Was basically it, wasn't it? And I didn't, yeah. And I kind of, was this after I told you you were punching above your weight?
No. I think that was around about the same time. It was like.
It's all a blur.
It's all a blur. It was like in 2011.
So. I know. So. There was one particular night that we were going for dinner. We were all meeting up and I didn't really know anybody. And Doug was at the table. I remember he had this silly hat on and he was sitting there with his hat on that he wears for MDRT, which I think you need to share a picture at some point. And I remember him showing me and introducing himself to me and showing me a picture of his wife. And I was like, bloody hell, you're punching above your weight, aren't you? And then we were friends forever. Then we hung out by the pool. Is this true so far?
Yes. Yeah.
Then we hung out by the pool. And I remember Doug talking to me about his business and what he was doing. And I just remember at the time thinking, like, if he seriously wants to get into the meeting that he can't get into because he's sitting by a pool with me, you know, i.e. become top of the table, he's got to make some serious changes to that business. Because, in truth, as much as he got these goals and, you know, they had seen him through to this point, what Doug needed at that point was what you needed at that point was you needed the ceiling taken off of your world so that actually you had the gusto and the momentum to build a business and to achieve what I could see you had in your kit bag. You just didn't know how to use it all. So me being me and in a relaxed setting, we were both sunbathing and just chatting away. And as you do when you these conferences sound amazing, don't you? 3 o'clock in the bar and sunbathing. There's an awful lot of hard work that goes into these.
There is, honestly, people.
There is.
You know, there's lots and lots and lots of conference-y time.
There are. There is.
Massive speakers on the stage and loads of notes taken.
I just remember thinking, I need to go all balls out on him. Like, he needs to have a right good talking to. So that's what we did. And we're still friends. And to be fair, for the record, we've had several of those all balls out conversations throughout the years. But the biggest problem with Doug, and I'll address everybody who's listening and watching to this, which is why I love him so much, because he's always been the person that I wanted to help so much, because he almost capped himself. And the reason I'm saying this is because loads of people do it. He caps himself and had capped himself at the ceiling of his own self-worth. And I was having absolutely none of it. And I remember the Harley Davidson conversation. Do you remember the Harley Davidson conversation against the next pool? We had another session by the pool and another conference. And we were talking. Oh, no, it was the same one, I think, actually. That's another story.
The same one, yeah.
And I remember him saying to me about that he didn't want a Harley, right? He didn't want a business that was going to be this big. And he didn't want a business that could do this. And I said, is it not that you don't want it or you don't think you're worthy of it? And I think that's when it landed, didn't it? Like, if you're going to, you know, he was almost scared of that potential. And one of my very most famous quotes, which I actually stumbled across not too really around that same time, was the Marianne Williamson quote, which is my all-time favorite quote, which is, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. And I know that that day, Doug was so scared of what he could actually achieve that he'd almost talked himself out of it. And I was having absolutely none of it that day. And that's why I've stuck with him. You know, I got him, helped him get his first speaking gigs, and he smashed it out of the park. And I critiqued him, I remember, and I gave you some pointers. He's getting all sad and all emotional, as he does. But I knew, I could see in him what he could do. And, you know, it was in him, but he just needed to have that belief in that his goals could be this big. And here we are. And look at him. And that's why I'm good to stand number 27 on the list and not number one.
Oh, well, I did mention it early on.
And, I'm only joking.
You know,
I'm trying to break up so you don't start crying. I know what you're like.
No, she knows what I'm like. Yeah, I am quite emotional about these things. And it is, you know, it does, when you're reminded of where you've come from and also reminded again of what you're actually capable of.
Incredible stuff.
And that's not just me, that's everybody. Everybody that's listening to this, you're capable. Just as that quote there, it's
absolutely. And actually, when we think about what we're capable of, it is scary. Like, you know, you talk about, you know, goal setting and stuff like that. And I am a huge believer, like, and I really wasn't before lockdown. But at the beginning of lockdown, you know, I busted my boyfriend at the time. You know, he was having a relationship with somebody else. And he thought I was all right, twat, and I wouldn't know. Well, I'm not stupid. And the thing was, I came into lockdown, my world had been absolutely spun upside down and I'd been spat out for breakfast. But I pulled in everything I'd got because I had a job to do. I had to be an amazing mom and I had to flip and change the world. And I still had to change the world one financial advisor at a time. So I couldn't be sitting around having a pity party. So I cracked on. But one of the things I got into, and I've never done it before, I swear I've never done it before, is like almost manifesting my own thoughts. For 21 days when I'd moved into the flat and I left the house, I did Deepak Chopra's 21-day meditation challenge. And it's all this thing around abundance, right? Oh, my God. Like, I wrote, like, all this stuff I wrote down in my book. One of the things was, you know, if you believe in this stuff, you manifest it to happen. Like, you didn't have to write it down. If you manifested it in your mind and thought about it, it would happen. And I swear you not, right? I wrote it down. But it was just because it was a number that came to my head. Basically, one of the episodes was, come up with a number that you want to have in your bank by the end of the year, right? And it was like very specific, in your bank account, cash, pennies and pounds, in your bank account by the end of the year. And I wrote down £50,000. Don't ask me why I wrote down £50,000. Like, I just don't know. And on November the 13th, I signed up the biggest project ever for 7 months and it was £52,000. Now, I really genuinely not like, and this is a huge financial planning practice with a ton of work that needs to be done, but £52,000. And I knew it was going to land in my bank account. I knew it was going to come in. And so I manifested these things. So I think when it comes to the goals and the dreams thing, you know, if you believe it, you desire it that much, it'll happen. It's just a matter of time when it does. But you've got to remind yourself of it like you do with your little notebook every single day.
The other thing that you've got to do is you've got to work.
You have got to work.
You can't just manifest it and believe that you and sit on your ass. Yes.
But I think it just shapes your decision making, doesn't it? If you want something bad enough, like, you know, I'm changing the world. So every day I wake up and I'm looking at my work and my to-dos and, you know, I get presented with opportunities and they all come back to, will it help change the world? If it doesn't, I won't do it. And that's why, you know, being in lockdown, stuck at home, we've had a huge focus on what those goals and those business dreams are and personal dreams and aspirations. And, you know, we've accelerated progress towards them because we've worked at them. We've had the space and time to do that. So I feel like I'm talking too much. Sorry.
Don't answer, just speak.
That wasn't an invitation to say yes you are, and for the last 8 years you have been. Thanks.
And it's no, it's the last 10 years.
You only asked me how we met.
Yes, well, indeed. But no, I mean, you know, some people come into your life and they're integral to your future. And I consider
Michelle. You just can't get rid of them.
And you just can't get rid of them. But, you know, you keep them hanging on just because they have some value.
Thanks.
No, you're welcome.
I'll stick around a bit longer. I'll make sure I earn this right.
That was a big one. Big, hairy, audacious goal. Do you have littler goals? Or do you see things and you know, you write them down and their progress to this big massive one? Or honestly, or have you got an alternative? You know, because I talk about SMART goals in my book, but some people have, you know
You want badass goals. I think you know what?
What's that acronym stand for? Have you just you haven't made it up yet?
Do you want me to share?
Yes, please.
Well, I actually, interestingly, I actually presented this at an MDRT meeting. So I will share, because I think actually it's now, look, this is not to diss your SMART goals, because
I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that. Pretty much every other speaker that I have on the podcast disses SMART goals. So, yeah. But that's fine, because I'm learning and everybody's learning. So it's perfectly fine, but we've got badass. Is that how you say it with your northern accent?
Badass. BADASS. And yeah. I did this. I wrote this as a presentation actually for MDRT. I did a connection.
How did you get it through? How did you get it through compliance?
I don't know. But I did. Badass. I know.
That's like the very, very, you know, you I'm not can't sure use just, certain words and everything.
I know. Well, the thing is, I think they've learned to just let me roll with it. Because I think I'm going to come up with the goodies, right? So badass. So let me just set a bit of context around this, because you're asking me the question about me. So
we've only got 2 days on this podcast, Michelle.
I think I'm a bit of an anomaly generally, in that when something's locked in my head, it's not going anywhere. So it's almost like, and it sounds weird when I explain it using big girl words. But when I have a goal or a vision or something my determination just like takes over my body. So for example, you know, I've got friends who have moved house. This is a silly example, but it just kind of explains the type of person I am. And I think people need an element of this to achieve their goals, right? So I moved in this flat the weekend of lockdown. So the night before I was supposed to move, my removals guys cancelled on me because they were going into isolation. So I had a house full of furniture, no removals. My dad had to drive down from Scotland to move me. Within 24 hours, every box was unpacked. Everything was put away. Every item of clothing was in a wardrobe. You'd have never known that 24 hours earlier, I'd moved house. Because, like my dad, I go until the job is done. I don't stop until the job is done. Knew what I wanted. I visualized what I wanted. I knew I didn't want boxes. I couldn't live with boxes. I had Ruby here. You know, I wanted to get shit done. And I didn't stop until, I mean, I slept, of course, but I didn't stop until the job had done. I'm like that with everything. So I don't need to like write my little incremental steps down to my goals. If I am passionate about what it is I'm trying to achieve, I don't need to write shit down. Honestly, like I know what needs to be done. Now, I know that I'm hardwired that way. That's how I work in business. If you told me your goal, I would tell you all the things you needed to do to achieve it. I'm just hardwired that way. But I think it's really important, and this was where the badass goals come in, and I'll share, if you don't mind.
I'd love for you to share.
Fabulous. Right. So the first thing is your goals need to be big, bold, and brave. You need your big boy, big girl pants on if these goals are going to get you excited, right? They can't be piddly little, oh, well, I'd like to do this. It's got to be like we're going large or we're going home. And I think everyone needs to have bold, you know, big, a bit kind of, oh, my God, goals where you're going to need to be really brave to do it. So if you wimp out, you'll only get what you put in. So if you're going to set them kind of mediocre, and that's why the SMART thing never works for me, because it's like, you know, who the hell's smart? Like nothing I've done is smart. It's flipping scary as hell, the goals I'm setting. They're not smart goals. No nutter would set the goals I have. You know, I know, let's set a goal that I'll never see come to fruition. That's a smart idea. Like not a chance, right? So they're not smart. They're big, bold, and a little bit, I need to be super, super brave. But this for me is the next one, is the most important thing, that I feel attached to it. When I set goals, I have to set them like they are an extension of who I am. I feel totally attached to it. Like, I'm going to get in as I want to unpack those boxes within 24 hours, and I'm not going to stop until the job is done. I want to change the world. That's become my life. Like, I am an amazing mom and I love being a mom, but my professional world, that's destination. But I feel extremely attached and responsible for that goal. Like, it's part of me, right? You know, it's funny, I had a couple of calls this morning. One of the ladies was saying, you know, she's an advisor, she's got a new business idea, and she's like, you know, I've spoken to a few people and they're like, have you spoken to Michelle about this? Have you spoken to Michelle Hoskin about this? Like, this is right up Michelle, because that goal has become an extension of who I am as a person. So it's part of me. It's not just a thing I've written down on a wanky flipping business plan somewhere. It's real. It means everything to me, right? Disruptive. So D stands for disruptive. If someone's doing it, I want to find a different way. If someone set that goal, I want a bigger goal. If somebody wants to do it that way, I'm thinking of a way that I can disrupt and cause a little bit of trouble. Like, I like to be a little bit mischievous and a little bit diva-ish, because I think it just gets everything and everyone a little bit more excited about stuff. So I think if it's going to be disruptive, you've got more chance of getting people on board with those goals, because they're like, oh yeah, it's about, like, we're rebelling. You know, the fact that I'm a female in financial services doing what I do is disruptive. Just
enough.
Enough, right?
Just so to I'm start with.
You know, look at all of my marketing material. It's not bloody blue and grey. It's purple with stars on it. I mean, you know, oh my God, that's just because I love purple. But even still, it's not your everyday run of the mill. You know, A of ass is awesome. If they're not going to change or at least rock the world, then what's the point? Like, again, this is go large or go home. You've got to really have something that's really going to push you and it's going to literally bounce you out of bed every morning. Because you're not motivated by them, or they're not awesome and they're, again, all the above, you're just not going to get, you know, you're not going to get that passionate about them. And this is just not the way to be achieving goals at all. And the last two, S, I think they need to be as scary as hell. Like, they literally need to make the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, because you have no idea how on earth you're going to pull it off. Like, they frighten you. They're so scary, right? And you think, well, you know, I'll lower my goals so that I achieve them and we don't like to disappoint. Sod that. Like, you set them and you set them high, and but they are literally, they petrify you because you have no idea how you're going to do them. But we'll worry about that later. And then the last one is sparkly. Like, they've got to be a little bit jazz hands, because, you know, life can be exactly right. Life can be a bit boring and a bit dull and a bit samey, and you've got to have a little bit of, you know, and then, you know what? And just because I can tell you this, and all the one that's listening, but, you know, I was in a relationship for a long time, and I remember the moment that I realized that it wasn't ever going to work. And this is ridiculous because it sounds so lame, but I remember saying to Mark once, we were talking about something, and he turned around to me and he said, you know what, Michelle, he said, life's not all glitter and sparkle. And it took me, and I turned to him and I said, yeah, but I want to make it glitter and sparkle. And I knew at that moment that he wasn't the right person for me. And it took me, you know, you talk about you being a slow learner. This was like another 4 years after that I realized that he wasn't the right one for me. But the point is that it needs to be a bit glittery. Like, it needs to get you excited and give you butterflies in your tummy and be fun. You know, if a goal's not fun to achieve, you'll sack it off because it'll be too painful and not pleasurable. So, you know, they're badass goals for me. Like, you know, and you can have some real fun, you know, doing them, you know, and achieving them. And I think that's what it's all about. So that's my little, you know, but I don't write them down every day. They're just like locked in, imprinted into the forefront of my brain, is how I work.
Well, we have to say that Michelle is somewhat different.
I know this. And I am extreme, you know, and I'm an extremely self-motivated person too.
No, absolutely. No, it's lovely. That's the point. It is lovely. It's a different take. It's like chewing people up and spitting them out. She just does that.
And it's like having a conversation with me. Someone once told me, having a conversation with you is like drinking out of a fire hose. And I thought, well, I think that's a good thing. Life's too bloody short. Like a friend of mine, you know, he messaged me the day to say that his gardener, who was 40 years old, had found out he'd got cancer. He got a mole that turned into cancer. He's dead. He's gone. And I was messaging my friend and I said, you know, like, he was saying that he'd had a whole conversation with him prior to, you know, like lockdown, about his dreams and his aspirations and his goals and how he wanted to build this business. And he's dead, Doug. He's 40 with babies. You know, we ain't got time to be faffing around. We've got to like crack the hell on and you know, not put stuff off. And if you want to do something, get moving. I think like that all the time. And I'm glad I've got my dad's quality of just, you go until the job is done, you know, and my goals will probably kill me off eventually. But, you know, my daughter's waiting in the wings to take over as Mini Miss Wow. So I'm fine. I've got it covered.
What can I say?
I don't know.
I think we've reached the perfect point.
We have.
To say, Michelle, absolutely wonderful to have you on my podcast.
Was it your podcast or was it mine?
Well, you know, I did get the odd word in.
We'll let the audience decide.
And we'll let the audience decide. But yeah, certainly if you're in financial services, you need a little bit of Miss Wow in your life, the pocket rocket. It's almost just a shame that she has kept herself in financial services, but that's a big enough job as it is anyway.
You lot, it's a lifetime bloody work sorting you guys out.
Absolutely, but there we go. Look, we've got to have badass goals, so much bigger than SMART, so much more exciting than SMART, seizing the day. Michelle, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Dougie. Love you lot.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to review and subscribe on Apple, Google or Spotify. I'd love to hear about your goals. You can share them with me at dougbennett.co.uk.